praise the Lord. As the choir's making their way down, I'd like to remind you, next week, the 19th through the 22nd, I think, in Utah, we'll be having revival. I'll be preaching a revival up there. So if you'd like to come that way, it's north on 43 for you that don't know. I think it'll be 6:30 each night. So if you'd like to come, please, if you want to ride with me, that'd be great too. This morning, I'd like for you to turn, if you will, to Matthew 22, 1 through 14. I've entitled this, Are You Dressed to Go? Are you dressed to go? Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Of course, I read from the New King James Version, so bear with me as that occurs. And you follow me in whatever version you have. This is how it reads. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, Tell those who are invited, quote, See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding, unquote. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, again, we're thankful and grateful that you continue to work within our lives. Thank you for your presence in this place, and thank you for the written word, for the stories we have, so that we can learn from them and apply them to our lives. So let us go forth now in honoring you, and Lord, we pray that our eyes would be open to see you, our ears would be open to hear from you, and our hearts would be open to experience you in a very powerful and meaningful way this day. So Lord, now use us to draw us closer to you in our living for Jesus. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, and they all said, Amen. Well, this little text, pericope, if you will, that Jesus' story, it's all red letter edition, so you realize Jesus is speaking to the followers, his disciples. And when you think about that, you say, well, man, this is quite a story about a king that had a son, that there's going to be a wedding, and so it's a big party. And you know, when you go to a big party, such as a wedding, you need to have the proper attire on. I mean, that's a given. I've been reading about weddings, and I have found this week, I read It is inappropriate for you to wear white to a wedding. Does anybody know that? Yeah, see, all you know that. I didn't know that. I would have never worn white because I don't wear white, you know, very often anyway, if ever. But I didn't know that it was inappropriate to actually wear white because I guess the bride wears white, so no one else is supposed to. I learned that this week. So there's rules, you know, and there's certain garments you're supposed to have on, and you should wear the proper attire. Now, saying that, of course, this is about the wedding, and if you think about it, every time Jesus speaks in its red letter edition, he is trying to share spiritual insights with us. And then the black letters, usually when the people respond, are that they think naturally. So if we want to look at this in the spiritual sense, God has set out a plan. I have noticed that there was three different places in there that he sent out people. Now, that's pretty interesting. Here, the king had the fatted calf killed. The animals were ready. The wedding feast was prepared. And he sent out his workers to go and bring in the people who were supposed to attend the wedding. Now, if we look at that in the grand scheme of things, God sent his son to this world to save the world, right? And so he sent his son, Jesus. Now, spiritually, the church of that day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of them, the Sanhedrin, they all did not receive Jesus. They were prepared for the wedding feast, but in essence, they didn't receive. They didn't want to go to the wedding because they didn't believe in Jesus. See? So if you think about that, that's pretty interesting. The king, God, preparing a wedding for his son, Jesus. And Jesus is coming back for what? To save the sinner. But he's coming back for the church, isn't he? And what do we call the church? His bride. That's right. And so there's going to be a big wedding feast experience. We need to make sure that we are prepared and dressed to go. Dressed to go. Now, what does that mean for us today? Well, if you look at Ephesians, Paul talks about that we need to have a breastplate of righteousness. We need to be prepared. We need to be holy people. We need to be the people that God has called us to be prepared for when Jesus comes back. Now, thinking on those terms, and like I said, I look at this as an evangelistic sermon. Isn't that amazing how I see that? But he sent out three different groups of people. He sent out people. And why did he send them out? Because the king was preparing for his son, and it's a big celebration. And when the king's having a celebration, listen, everybody's having a celebration. And so he wanted everybody to be dressed up and prepared to come just in the right attire to be in that wedding party. Now, I don't know about you, but I always think about, well, where have I fallen short lately? I try to think about that and self-examination throughout the week and in my prayer time and saying, Lord, you know, have I offended somebody? Have I misspoke? And often my wife, you know, corrects me and said, you might want to rethink how you said that because they might not have heard what you really were thinking. And so sometimes I have to learn that, and I hear that usually at lunch. Then I have to rethink that. And I talked to Brother Earl last week about when I said about the prophet coming and Elijah and Elijah, and Elijah said, you'll receive a double blessing when I go on. But the whole key to Elijah and Elijah was that Elijah was mentoring Elijah all his life. And so Elijah said, if you'll be with me when I go, which he knew he was leaving, he said, you'll receive the mantle and you'll receive a double blessing. So please do not hear that the old people need to be gone. That's not what I meant to say. Or have you heard that? That's not what I intended. I intended that the old people need to invest in the young people while they're here, because they are going sometime. We all are going. Amen? We all got an appointment with that death. And we don't know when that is, but the key is when the older ones go, we're going to be remembering them through our young people, because you invested in those young people, and so Elijah carried on the ministry, and that's what I meant. And that was a good thing, because I got to talk to Earl about that last week, because he heard it different, didn't you, Earl? I mean, he did. And so, you know, it's... A lot of you did. Well, that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because not always, you know, if you don't take the contents of the story, you know, how they were being mentored, then, you know, you could just see different things. Now, the beauty of this is that the words are powerful. They could be good and wrong. So, or wrong and good, either way, is how you perceive them. Now, the wedding with God... God's trying to tell us all that there's going to be a big day, and the wedding feast is happening. And so when you think about the wedding feast, are we dressed to go? You have to ask yourself that question. How can you be dressed to go? Number one, you have to know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot go on to the wedding feast. So you think about this, and in the story, he had the people go out and get everybody from the highways and the byways, and the king comes into the wedding festival, and he says, "Well, why aren't you dressed? Why are you not dressed for this wedding feast?" And so, when you ask that question, what does that mean? Pardon me? Are you prepared to go and be at this festival? You have to dress appropriately for this event. And in the spiritual sense, what Jesus is trying to tell us here is that our hearts need to be right with Him. Now, I don't know about you, but all of us got to look at our own self in the mirror. We all have to look at who we are. Are we the best we can be? Are we seeking after holiness? Are we studying our Word? Are we studying the Word of God in such a way that it's self-examining, that Word is speaking to our hearts? And as we hear from God, as we look into God's face, if you will, and seek out what He wants for us, are we doing what He asks us to do? Now, again, three times there I see "go out." I asked you that question. Have you gone out? Have you gone out and invited people into the wedding? And told them that, listen, it's time to get dressed. I don't know about you, but it's time. I mean, look at 2,000 years ago, Jesus was here. It's 2,000 plus that He was here. That the Hebrew and the Jewish people, they rejected Him. Okay, then now a lot of different things have occurred in 2,000 years, and now the church, is the church ready for the bride to come? Only God knows, is that right? That only God knows when He's coming back. That's what Jesus told us in the Scriptures. And the different people who wrote the Scriptures, that's what they tell us. They said, there's only one that knows, and that's God the Father Himself. So when we think about... are we dressed to go, is it about you, your life, or is it about you thinking about other people? Is it about you going out and bringing people into the wedding feast, which is really the church today? Because where is the wedding feast going to take place? Jesus is coming back for the church. Where's the church? The church is right here. We're building the kingdom of God right here in Linden, right here in this church. And the other churches as well, not to distinguish that we're the only church. It's just that we are supposed to be going out, inviting people in, so that we are a stronger body and being prepared and clothed in the right garment so that we are ready to go. Now, how do we make our hearts white as snow? Our hearts, meaning
our innermost being that God looks upon. How do we make them whiter than snow? Anybody know? We confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, and we ask for the atonement, which is the blood of Christ, to be poured out upon us. The only way that you are righteous, the only way that you are righteous is through the blood of the Lamb. Because that's the righteousness of God. That's why He sent His Son. And this, just like it said here, that there's going to be a great wedding event and we need to be properly clothed. We need to have the blood of Christ applied to our hearts so that there's no unforgiveness. That's why when we come and have our sacraments and we take of them, we usually do the confessional and we say, oh, if we've done anything wrong or hold anything against anybody, please forgive us. Why? So that our hearts are sprinkled with the blood of Christ, so that we are pure and righteous and holy to come and partake of the elements. That's what it's about. And so the blood of the Lamb is what we apply to ourselves to make us whiter than snow, to make us sinless, to make us in the eyes of God so He can look upon us and He knows our hearts. That's our innermost being. That's what he says in the Scriptures. So as our hearts are right and we are seeking out pureness and holiness and righteousness, then what we're doing is we're really seeking after God's face. We want to see God. And now, not only do we want to see God, but what happens is then when we go out into the rural areas, when we go out and invite people in, what do they see? They see God in us. And that's how we are drawing people into the fold. That's how we are bringing and inviting people into the wedding feast. Because we're saying, hey, come to this party. It's about to happen. I don't know about you, but the more that I look at the news, the more that I see the turmoil in the world, I realize that, listen, the time is at hand. It's not about me. It's just look at what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say we need to be prepared. And so I'm asking you, are you dressed to go? Because we don't know the time nor the place. None of us know our time. Not none of us. Not one of us know in this place when our last breath is going to be taking place. And we don't know when Jesus is coming back for the church. And it says that in 1 Thessalonians. And so we look at that and we say, listen, there's going to be a day that we hear a great trump sound. The eastern sky will break wide open and Jesus will come back for the church. And so I'm asking you today, are you dressed to go? Are you ready for the big event? Have you invited your friends to this event? Because Jesus is opening up the door for us to invite all that we know. It's not a select few because he came, if you will. If you look at what Jesus did, Jesus came for the select few. But they rejected Him. And therefore, that's why we get to come into the fold. Why we're invited to the wedding. Because we are the Gentiles. And there's mercy and grace applied to us. And so as we go forth, what are we to do? We're supposed to apply mercy and grace and live out this scriptural holiness, if you will, the Word of God before people so that they know we've been seeking God's face. I'll tell you the difference between people that are religious and people that are spiritual. You want to know what the difference is? Does anybody have an idea what the difference is? Between religious people that know the church, know the words, the jargon, if you will, and then spiritual people?
Religion has become their God over God.
And so what's spirituality? The religious people have none. But how do we get it then? How do we get spirituality? Where do you think it comes from? The Word of God? I want to add something. Not just the Word of God. That's the teaching tool. That's the letters that God has given us to instruct us in how to live it out.
The Holy Spirit.
Being in the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in your closet. In your closet. It doesn't come from anywhere else. You can say all the words in the world and you can know the scriptures through and through. And Paul says it so well in 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't he? He says, man, you can know everything, but all, if you got only the words of God down and you might have them in your head, then what are you? Do you all know that scripture? You're a what? A clanging cymbal, or, you know, you're just making noise is really what he's saying. But if you really know the love of God and understand that love never fails, that you're all focused on what does God have for me in my relationship with Him, and I'm seeking the God's best for me. You know what that makes us? A better bride. A better bride. One that's gloriously dressed in white for Him to come back to, and seeking and walking out holiness and righteous living. Now, does that mean we're all going to agree? I guarantee you we're not, because we're human beings. Just like I said, Jesus in the red letter edition, spiritually. Black letter edition, usually when people are responding to Him, they think naturally. But that's the human side of us, isn't it? But when we're seeking God's face and asking God, what is it for us to do and to be? Then guess what happens? We put on this. We put on the clothes that are appropriate to be in the wedding party. And so, when the king comes around, how are you dressed? I hope you're going to be dressed in a proper attire, ready to go. Because what happens with the ones who aren't dressed appropriately? Now this is back now. If you look at Revelation 22, he's talking about when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a day of judgment, and you're not properly dressed. What happens? There's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Do you know what that really symbolizes and emphasizes? Being absent from the presence of God. See, what holiness is being in the presence of God. But when you talk about this wailing and gnashing of teeth, excuse me, that is the absence of being in the presence of God. And so we have to think about that. Are we dressed appropriately? In our men's group, I want to close with this. In our men's group, we're studying the book of Job. And Dr. Victor Hamilton is sharing about Job. And in chapter 30, he mentions about 19 different places. This is the part of Job where Job is having this conversation with God. And he says, well, God, if such and such and such and such has occurred, I'm sorry. You know, and God if, and there's 19 God ifs, if you will, that he's talking to God. And there's different places there, and he's really actually looking at a self-examination time. Well, God, if I've done this wrong, you know, maybe I can fix it. And God, if I did this, you know, and he thinks about it, no, I didn't do that. And God, if I did that, well, no, I didn't do that either. And he goes down to about 19 different things. God, if I did that, I'm more like, I'm sorry. That's what Job is doing in chapter 30. And so, Victor Hamilton closes with this. He says, you know, all that is self-examination and entire sanctification with the Wesleyan movement is all about self-examination. Spending time in the closet, asking God, if there's anything that I've done wrong, expose that to me. Give it to me in my mind so that I can deal with it and make it right. That's what he's really saying. But Victor Hamilton, as he closed out the video, his eyes were getting red and tearing up. He said, I want you to know, I've been in many classrooms and seminary studies and PhDs. And he says, you know, I didn't learn holiness in the classroom. He says, you know, I didn't learn holiness in the church. He says, I learned holiness from my mother and my father, because they displayed what it meant to live for God. They prayed in front of me. They read their scriptures in front of me. They treated others and did the ministry of the church by meeting the needs of the needy and feeding the poor and the disenfranchised. They did what God asked them to do. And that's where I learned about holiness and entire sanctification. Because they modeled it for me. And I want to say this for us. If you have the right clothes on for the wedding, for the special event that God has prepared for us, then what's going to happen is when we leave this place and we go into the world in which we live and interact in, people are going to see God in us. People are going to see that the Lord lives in us and that we've spent time with the Lord. And that there's mercy and grace to be shared. And that the love of God pours out of us onto others. And that we're merciful and kind and generous. And all these other things that God expects us to be to reflect His image to the world in which we live. So, my question to you today is, are you dressed to go? Miss Cynthia, you have the closing song.
Our closing song is found on page 405. You'll stand, please. We'll sing both verses. Seek ye first, page 405.